This reading is from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child.
And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them, the shepherds and angels. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them.
"Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognise him by this sign. You will find him wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels have returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who had heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Picture this. You're about to head off on an adventure with somebody you barely know to somewhere you've likely never been before. Most of us wouldn't even dream of embarking on an expedition like this. But in the case of Mary, she didn't think twice. She went ahead to Bethlehem with no certainty, but with full faith, trusting that God would work things out and open up the path before her. And we agree that this festive season, as we discuss our own journeys with faith and through life, Mary is a role model in so many ways.
We all know well enough how fantastically defining this journey was, but recognizing the level of trust Mary had in God and the plan that he had for her is so vital. She left what she was comfortable with and stepped out into the unknown, which can often feel like a wilderness and can appear incredibly overwhelming. But she did this knowing full well that it would test her faith. She took what most would deem a ridiculous chance and was likely dissuaded by those around her, or at least judged for getting herself into this tricky situation in the first place. Joseph did a similar thing. He and Mary together faced scandal and rejection, but continued on with their faith motivating them, knowing that this was worth it.
Very often, faith is blind. When we think of journeys, what typically comes to mind is you know where you're going, you know how you're going to get there, and you know what happens next. Journeys dictated by faith are the polar opposite. They're the adventure, the risk, the type of experience where you have no control, and yet complete freedom within it, because you're relying on someone greater.
In Mary and Joseph's lives, there were, of course, many journeys leading to this one, such as those of rejection and upset in Nazareth. And although this journey was perhaps a more significant one than the others, it's so important to recognize that the small journeys are not only an important part of life, but the very nature of taking on life with God.
Most of the time, our lives aren't dictated by one large, consistent arc, but they're made up of all of these small journeys, each with its own roadblocks, hurdles, and final destinations. These strings of journeys all make up the journey of Christ at work in our lives, and of his love at work in the world. And that major journey, of course, started with one very practical one, the journey to Bethlehem.
Yes, so in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, that we had read to us earlier, we read about why Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem in the first place, and why this one journey was going to launch a tidal wave of God's kingdom come. In those times, the tribe of Israel was scattered across what was once the kingdom of Israel, but had come under the occupation of the Roman emperor, Caesar. They weren't easy times. The Jewish people were under the control of the Roman army. They were being heavily taxed. It was during this time that the census was taken, and instead of getting a form sent in the post for everyone to fill out, every head of a household had to take his whole family and go back to where his tribe was originally from in order to register. Now, this seems pretty irrelevant, and sometimes we wonder why it's in that passage, especially when we're looking at the Christmas story. Jesus was going to be born, right? That's the main focus. So sure, it ended up being in a different town to where Mary and Joseph lived. But it wasn't a coincidence. Prophecies from hundreds of years before had dictated that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. This is pretty far away from Nazareth, and so somehow, without even knowing it herself, Mary had to get there in order to have the baby. And so God orchestrated this one very important journey. He used the hardships in her life, living under Roman occupation, he used it for good. When the census came about, he made sure that she had Joseph, a man from the tribe of Judah in Bethlehem, to be her companion and take her there. God used every seemingly small and frustrating roadblock to fulfill the plan he had from before time began. Most obviously, the lack of accommodation, so that Jesus would be born in the lowest place, in the stable, as the scriptures foretold.
So, how do our journeys begin? Starting off, we may feel anticipation and positivity. We're determined to see the journey through to completion. But roadblocks are easily met. They can be caused by us, or they can take the form of distractions and a journey down the wrong path. However, some are out of our control. Some are much, much bigger than us. And as a result, we can feel small. It's so normal to want to turn back or doubt that we're even on the right journey after all. I recently hit a massive bump in the road when I lost someone very close to me. My granny raised me up in faith, and the helplessness I felt in my bereavement really made me want to withdraw and take steps backwards. This felt like the end of a journey, and I struggled to connect with my faith in this time, as all I could feel was hurt and grief. It took me some time to realize that while this was the end of one journey, it was the beginning of another. My family united, and I felt reinforced in my faith as I turned to God and remembered the trust I hold in him to keep me close. Turning to scripture also gave me hope and comfort. I especially love Psalm 34, verse 18, which says, as some of you may know, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Realizing that I had the Father with me through everything I had to endure took a massive weight off my shoulders and allowed me to focus on the importance of celebrating her life as opposed to drowning in my grief. I've been finding inspiration also in the dedication Mary and Joseph showed as they entered uncharted territory, as I enter a new part of my life missing an important family member. While before I was carrying my loss as a burden and allowing it to drag me under at times, I'm now trying to do things in my granny's name and can only hope that I'm making her proud with everything I'm doing.
Perhaps you really relate to Laura, having experienced an event where the road takes a turn and suddenly you're on a very different path. I don't know about you, but I've always seen my life characterized by chapters, all the mini journeys that make up the big picture of my life and my journey in faith with God. They've been between months and years long, based on where I've been living, who I've been living with, how much I've been struggling, and how much I've been learning and growing. I'm on a journey now of finishing my last year of school, where I'm fast approaching a crossroads of where I go and what I do from here. Which direction am I headed in? Someone recently reminded me that ultimately our goal and our destination is nearness to God. For all the small journeys we take, however they begin, the destination we're headed towards, our true north, is him. To know him, to be found in him. And that's so evidently reflected in this story. Mary and Joseph's lives were, like all of ours, a combination of all the journeys they ever went on. And the journey to Bethlehem was the first of the ultimate milestones in humanity's journey, the journey to being near to God through Christ's sacrifice.
So ultimately, the journey of life and faith isn't anywhere near as simple as we may think. It is detailed and complex and unique to each one of us. As well as this, our lives are not just made up of one journey. They're a culmination of many journeys that we must have the courage to not only embark on, but continue on. And if we look in Hebrews 11, we can see that the writer has traced all the journeys, literal and metaphorical, that the people of God took in faith. From Abel to Abraham to David, God's will was done through those who put their trust in him.
And the one small journey Mary and Joseph took in faith fulfilled prophecies and ultimately changed the entire course of history. Imagine what could happen if we had the same depth of faith to follow through with every journey God sends us on, even those that seem to have no certainty, but knowing that he walks alongside us.